not sure if I said it, but we will take an offering for Brother Stewart tonight too. We haven't had a chance to have him up this time or anything, so it's an expensive proposition. At least he's not taking his family, you know, over with him and back. So we will take an offering for him. All right, we're in two places this morning to start. Romans chapter 12 and 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Romans 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Romans chapter 12, we begin reading with verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Lord, once again we come to you and thank you for such an exacting set of words as are the words of God. We are glad, Lord, that we can trust thee and thy integrity for what these words are supposed to be. You didn't make promises that you didn't keep. And so we're able to come to you this morning and take comfort in the promises, able to hear the trumpet blast that will spur us to do zealous things for thee. At the same time, Lord, you've given us some things here that we're supposed to comprehend and understand. If there's somebody here lost, as Brother Chris prayed, please help them to see their need for a Savior and salvation. This is just too big to tackle alone. And for somebody here, and most folks here are saved, I know, I pray you'd help us to be instructed, Father, in something we need that'll give us victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty, now you have these two passages side by side. Going to be flipping back and forth just a little bit. And I would point out a common thing in the two. These are the only two passages in the Bible where the word transform is used. It says that in Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Then it tells you in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, 14, and 15, that Satan himself and Satan's ministers are transformed. Those are the only two passages anywhere in the Bible that talk about a transformation. And so I'd like to talk about that for a while. It's interesting that the devil's mentioned three times. The devil and the devil's ministers are mentioned three times to the Lord's one. Transform, transform, transform. But for what that's worth and for what it's worth, all of the new versions expectedly butcher this, change the word transformation into being changed or disguised or masquerading or pretending. But again, we have a higher appreciation for the Word of God than that. The Bible says we're supposed to compare spiritual things with spiritual. The context of those spiritual things in 1 Corinthians 2 are spiritual words. It's the words which the Holy Ghost teacheth and not what man teaches. And so I come to this issue of transformation again. This thing is mentioned only in two passages, two separate passages. This is not unusual. I'll give you some other examples. Did you know that the word science is only mentioned twice in the Bible? In the new versions, it's not mentioned at all. But in the King James Bible, it's used twice. One of those times is to warn you about science, falsely so called. The other occasion in Daniel 1 tells you what real science is. That's a very valuable tool. Sometimes the Lord uses words hundreds of times. Sometimes He uses them once or twice. And that's always to teach you something. I'll give you another example. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God That's the passage always cited for inspiration. But the Bible also says in Job 32 that the inspiration of the Almighty giveth understanding. Again, two cases of inspiration. Each of them teaches something different and adds light to the other. You know, we talk about issues down here all the time. Now, not issue in the Bible. Issue can be anything from babies being born to you throwing up or spitting. But issues, we talk about issues in politics, issues in this, that, or the other. Did you know there are only two issues in the Bible? In Psalm 68, he says, to the Lord belong the issues from death. And in Proverbs chapter 4, it says, out of it, out of the heart, are the issues of life. In the Bible, there are only two issues, the issues from death and the issues of life. And again, this is what makes the Bible unique among books. The Lord doesn't just throw words in just for the sake of throwing words in. And so here we come to something where you have in two passages alone, not very far apart, just a book between them, where the Lord uses the word transform for the only two times in the Bible. And so this will be, the title of this will be Ye Transformed, from Romans 12:2. But if you'll go to Romans 12:2, let me read this to you one more time. I'd like you to think about this. I got some light on this morning, or not this morning, but this week, that I hadn't thought about in quite these terms before. And frankly, to me, it's profound. Notice in verse 2 of Romans 12, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so would you agree transformation is what is supposed to happen to a Christian? That's where this thing is supposed to end up. We're supposed to have been transformed. And it can only be applied to a Christian. Nobody that's lost is transformed. Now, you may have lost 300 pounds. You may have gotten a new hairdo and changed your hair color. You may have been lifted and tucked and all this kind of stuff, plastic surgery, but you weren't transformed, not from the Bible. It's maybe a good thing you lost 300 pounds, probably was. But that's not a biblical transformation. Only saved people in the Bible can be transformed. Would you agree? But that is what's supposed to happen to a Christian. So, here's how it goes. You had a problem. You were a sinner. And you were dead in trespasses and sins. And you were corrupt clear through. You were on your way to hell no matter how many Girl Scout cookies you ever bought. And so Jesus Christ came to fix your problem. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And He died for our sins after living a perfect life, bore our sins in His own body on the tree. And the Bible says that He died on that cross for you and I as a perfect substitutionary atonement for all of my sins. He shed the blood of God Himself. He was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Died, was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that's the gospel. Christ died for your sins. He was buried for you. He rose again. That proves He has life to give. So come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Right? Now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you're saved, you got saved by believing, not by being baptized and not by joining a church and not by this and not by that and not by the other. You got saved by believing. You got saved by faith. Right? Okay, you're with me so far. Now, at this point, I'm congealing a bunch of stuff in one lump because we studied this for weeks and weeks about 6 months ago. When you got saved, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, a bunch of stuff happened all at once. You had nothing to do with it other than believing. God did the rest of it. You were converted. You were born again. You were regenerated. You were made a new creature in Jesus Christ. You were made a son of God. You were adopted. into the family of God. You were delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. You were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, had nothing to do with the flesh. All were circumcised with that circumcision, if you're saved. You were baptized by the Spirit into the body of Jesus Christ. You were washed in the blood. You were sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. You were seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You were made dead to the law. The law was crucified to you. You were crucified to the law. You were crucified in Christ, risen in Christ. The world was crucified to you. The law was crucified to you, and you to it. There's a bunch of stuff that happened the moment you believed. A bunch of stuff. And aside from all those things, there are even others. But at the moment of salvation, the moment you believed, God did all that, and you were not, you couldn't feel it by your tactile senses, and you didn't even know it happened until the Bible told you it happened. You knew that you were guilty. You knew that you needed a Savior. You knew you didn't want to go to hell. That's good enough. You knew Christ died for you, so you believed. But God did all that. Those were transactions that God did at salvation, right? Now look, that's really important, because if you don't have all that, you're still going to hell. Because when you believe, God did all that for you. If you didn't know about all that, then that's what you got when you got, when you trusted Christ. You got all that, and if you didn't get all that, you're still going to hell. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, so here's the question. It's a one answer. It's a one word answer. Are you saved? Okay. If yes, then you got all those things. If no, you got none of those things. You're not forgiven. You're not translated. None of those things. You're lost and on your way to hell, right? Now, if yes, if you are saved, don't jump to the answer. Look in Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, if you're saved, you got all those things I mentioned, right? Now, don't jump on it. Think about it. If you're saved, are you transformed? If you're saved, you've been translated. If you're saved, you've been circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. You've been placed into the eternal love of God. You've been regenerated. You've been given a new birth. You've been given a lots of things, but have you been transformed? The answer is no, not at the moment of salvation. You have not, because he's still talking to saved people about the future. Be not conformed, but be ye transformed, right? Now, transformation is supposed to happen, right? But just getting saved. I mean, a guy is homeless. He's been on a month-long drug and booze binge, sleeping under a railroad trestle, crawls out one morning, got puke all over him, just nasty, filthy. You can smell him from here to the back door. Long, greasy, slimy hair, just filthy, bedraggled, tired. Crawls out from under the railroad trestle. A guy standing there with a tract, a Chick tract, hands him the Chick tract and said, I'd appreciate it if you'd read it. Guy sits down and reads it because he has nothing better to do, and he reads it and he gets saved. Bows his knee to Jesus Christ, believes on Christ as his Savior. He gets up off his knees. Is he saved? Yes. Is he translated? Yes. Is he circumcised with a circumcision made without hands? Yes. All those salvation things, yes. Is he still bedraggled? Is his hair still greasy? Is he still tired? Does he still have puke on the front of his shirt? Does he still stink to high heavens? Yes. Because he didn't get transformed yet. Now, if you question what I'm saying, go down, if you will, to chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. These people are Christ's, are Paul's brethren in the Lord. They're saved. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. The sacrifice is holy. Their sacrifice of their bodies is acceptable to God. It wasn't when they were lost. These people are saved. In fact, in verse 5, so we, Paul, and my brethren in Rome, being many, are one body in Christ. They're all in Christ. But he's still urging them to be transformed because they haven't been transformed yet. Now, with that in mind, I'd like to make some observations. You have these two passages, Romans 12 and 2 Corinthians 11, and in both those passages, transformation is the issue. Now look, from Romans 12, 1 and 2, transformation is a process in a child of God. Salvation is not a process, right? Regeneration, the new birth, the quickening by the Spirit, the being seated in heavenly places, that's not a process. When you put your faith and trust in Christ, you get all that in one fell swoop. God does that. Salvation's not a process, but transformation is a process in a child of God. I've already preached it for a little while here, but it is independent from the transactions that occur when God saves you as you trust Him as your Savior. Okay? Second thing I can observe is that you are responsible for it happening. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. He's not going to do the transformation without your cooperation. In the end, you control it. I'm not saying that that you can do it all on your own, that you don't need the grace of God, the power of God. I'm saying that He defers to you, and it's your responsibility to see to it as a Christian that you're transformed. Transformation is not the same as salvation. Now, with that, I can make another observation. Your mind is the affected target. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you got saved, your soul was washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And now it's clean. And now it's going to heaven. In fact, in the circumcision made without hands, the Lord separated the soul from the flesh. So what you do in your flesh does not contaminate your soul again. So, man, your soul was saved. Your spirit, that other part of you, body, soul, spirit, your spirit was regenerated. Your spirit was dead according to God in the Word of God when you were lost. And so the Lord regenerated your spirit. You were born again. You got a fresh start, and all those things is true. Now, there's no question that the Lord worked on your heart and your mind and your conscience, and He moved in, and when you desired the truth, He gave you understanding and preached to you the gospel, right? So that much is true. But had you determined in your heart and mind not to believe on Him and not to make the transaction, He would have deferred to you. If you hadn't in your mind and heart decided to believe on Jesus Christ, He would have said, okay, right? And you'd still be lost and going to hell. Because what happens in the mind in a Christian is different than what happened with his soul and spirit. Now, with that said, you should just be aware that when you were born the first time, the natural birth, God gave you a brain. When you got saved, He didn't suck it out of your head. He intends for you to use your brain. And your mind is yours. And what you do with your mind is yours. Your mind may not be brilliant. Your mind may not be ingenious. and your mind may not be terribly inventive. In fact, it may be slow. In fact, the Bible describes some as feeble-minded. They're low watt bulbs. And that's fine. And that may be what your mind is, and that's perfectly fine. That doesn't stop you from realizing this thing that I'm talking about this morning. Your mind can be corrupted, affected anyway, by disease, by legitimate medicine, by sin, or by some things that you've done. It can be affected that way, but your mind is yours, and it can be ministered to. You can, and you must, because the Lord won't do it without you, you must renew your mind. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can renew it. 80 plus times in the New Testament alone, your mind is addressed. It's too voluminous to go through them all, but let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. You are told over and over how to think in the Bible and what you should think and so on and so forth. And that doesn't even, those 80 times does not even include all the verses on thinking and thoughts and wisdom and knowledge and understanding and all that stuff. That's just the mind, 80 times alone in the New Testament. Now, I say that to say that your mind is the affected target. If there's going to be a transformation, it's not soulish, and it's not spiritual in the sense of that third part of your Trinity, that spirit. The transformation comes by the mind being renewed. With that said, I can say something else. From Romans 12:2 and from 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, you can see that both God and the devil are interested in transformation. He said the devil's ministers are transformed into ministers of righteousness. The devil himself is transformed into an angel of light. Okay? God says he wants you transformed. Both God and the devil are very interested in a transformation. It's critical and indispensable to both of their plans. Did you know that, I mean, don't jump ahead of me, you maybe see where I'm going with this, but did you know that the devil hangs out around stuff that God's interested in? God wants you transformed, so the devil says, I'll throw a kink in this transformation thing. That's what he says. Religion is the devil's playground. God's things are the devil's playground. You find the devil in all kinds of places, I'm sure, but the devil uses the Word of God all the time. If you think the devil flees when you hold up a cross, you're wrong. The devil's not as scared of a priest or a prayer or a sermon or anything like that. He's more than happy to come in here and sit down beside you in a church service and whisper in your ear while I'm talking. He's not concerned at all. I'm telling you that both God and the devil are interested in transformation, and this transformation thing is fascinating to the devil because God's interested in it. Now, with that said, this has worked for me. It gets good. Look, if you will, in Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God expects the transformation to come from you. God expects you to be transformed. God expects you to change. Your calling is to change, to be transformed. You're not to remain unchanged. You are not to remain unchanged. So tell me, what's with all the churches running around saying, you don't have to change. You don't have to change. God loves you. just the way you are. He accepts you just the way you are. There's nothing expected. Who told them that? Not the Holy Spirit. God expects. God expects you to change. Now, in case you're wondering, just I'll avoid at this juncture running you throughout the Bible. That's going to come later. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Just to be sure you get it. 2 Corinthians 4, I'll start reading with verse 15. You don't have to turn. Here it comes. If you want to turn, that's fine. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we, Paul and the Corinthians, faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is Jesus Christ. The inward man is the new creature in Christ, is renewed day by day. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, you're told that we are supposed to put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. One more, Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. When you got saved, there's something that was put before you that you're going to spend the rest of your life involved in. That's the renewing of your mind. That's the transformation. The transformation, not salvation, not the transaction, not being forgiven, not getting to heaven, but after you're saved, what's supposed to happen then is a process, a transformation by the renewing of your mind. It's not conformation. It's transformation. Nobody's asking you to come up here and stand by me, and we can tie our legs together so that we have to walk in lockstep together. Nobody's asking you to do that. We don't have a list of rules on the wall where you have to do just like me. No, what the Lord is after is for you to be renewed in your mind. And He's not asking you to think like me or hold my opinions. He asks me to hold His opinions, that I might have the mind of God and hold Christ's opinions. And then you're not called to hold my opinions. You're called to hold Christ's opinions. And presumably what's supposed to work then is if I hold God's opinions and judgments and you hold God's opinions and judgments, then we might agree together. That's the way this thing's supposed to work, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a factory. We're not trying to make you conform to me. We're trying to get you to conform to Jesus Christ. This is not cookie cutter stuff. This is about you changing how you think so you think like Him. And if we don't think like each other, then you and I have a problem because one of us isn't thinking like Him. And we can discuss that. Right? This is about being teachable and learning about the Lord in your heart and mind. It's a transformation. Being saved is not enough. It's enough to get you to heaven. And the Lord did all those transactions that I named, and you're going to go to heaven now if you're saved, regardless. Praise God for it. But if you think the work ends there, you're terribly wrong. It's just not true. It's important to be teachable. There's an awful lot of folks now in Laodicea that are not interested in being taught anything. They're not interested in knowing the Bible. In fact, they go to churches where they don't even carry one. They're not even encouraged to carry one. They flash something on the board that might be a Bible. Maybe. Might be National Geographic, but it might be a Bible. You wouldn't know from the way it's read. But you're called to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You're to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're supposed to learn about God. You're supposed to study and rightly divide the word of truth. The way you think is supposed to change. And God expects you to change. It's your responsibility. You'll need His grace, you'll need His power, and you need Him to teach you. But you control the gate, and God is not going to teach you anything that you're not interested in learning. Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed. Be ye transformed. It's your responsibility by the renewing of your mind. Now, there's something else to add to this that is fascinating to me. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. God expects you to change, but there's somebody else interested in this transformation thing, and that person is the devil. Now, look, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves. Verse 14, Satan himself is transformed. Verse 15, therefore it is no great thing for his ministers to be transformed. You probably already saw this from the preaching and stuff, but I don't know if I've ever preached it as such. God wants you to change. The devil doesn't require any change from you. In fact, he wants to change for you. He says, you don't have to change. I'll do the changing for you. Now, you need to think about that. Because right now, the appeal from all over is that you shouldn't have to change. That God does not expect change from you. In fact, we'll come to you. We'll conform ourselves to what you want. And you can worship God any way that you please. And you can therefore live your life any way that you please. They're liars. Do you understand that it's the devil that is interested in you not changing? God wants you to change. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The devil says, I'll transform for you. I'll be the one transformed. These guys, these ministers of mine, will transform them to suit you. You know what that is? That's confirmation. Now, what does the Bible say? Be not conformed to this world, right? The devil's saying, don't worry, we'll transform and conform to you. Now, does this make sense? Who's the god of this world? The devil. The devil's the god of this world, and he hath what? Blinded the minds of them that believe not. Do you see what's happening? Everybody's running around saying, God doesn't require change. As a child of God, He wants you to change. The devil says, no, you don't have to change. In fact, I'll change for you. You know what he's trying to get you to do is to conform to the world. Did you know the Bible says, and what is it, Proverbs 24, is it 12 or 14, 21, something like that? It says, meddle not with them. Meddle, M-E-D-D-L-E, not M-E-T-A-L. Meddle, meddling with somebody. Meddle not with them that are given to change. God wants you to change. The devil says, no, I'll change for you. And so meddle not with them that are given to change. Meddle not with them that are interested in coming to you and conforming themselves to you and having you just conform to the world. There's no effort in that at all. Ladies and gentlemen, he'll change for you. He is not an angel, but he transforms himself into an angel of light. His ministers are not apostles, but they transform themselves into false apostles. His ministers teach sin and not righteousness, but they transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. It's not real. It's fake. It's fraudulent. The devil and company change for you. God says, I want you to change. I saved you. Now your job through the rest of your life is by the renewing of your mind to change. Every day, change a little bit. Be transformed. Right? See, I think this is really insightful. Because I find all kinds of stuff in the contemporary world we live in that plays into this all the time. Now, there's another couple of observations I can make. The devil's way is way easier than God's way. Oh, my goodness. Devil says, don't worry, you don't have to change, we'll change for you. The devil's way is way easier than God's way. God says, nope, I don't want you like you are. I saved you. But now your job for the rest of the time that I give you is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what that is? That's hard. It's hard to change your opinions. It's hard to change your prejudices. It's hard to change what you really, really, really like a lot and have always practiced to like something else instead. Ever try to change venues of music? Well, it's not always easy to learn to love classical music when you grew up on country and western, like me. Kind of hard to go to Handel after that. But you learn. And you're called to learn. The devil requires nothing. The devil's way is way easier than God's way. And so with man looking for an easy way, the vast proportions of Christians never change at all. If they trusted Christ, they're saved. We'll spend an eternity in heaven together and thank God for it. But as far as growing, as far as changing how they think, as far as changing their minds, as far as changing their desires and their hearts, they're not interested. They go to a church that feeds them rock and roll every week and tells them what they want to hear. They never hear a negative word. Nobody even ever says the word hell. And nobody is pushed to go further for God. It's just all easy peasy. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it is the way to hell is all easy, greasy, downhill slope. You don't have to do nothing. It's just as natural as it can be just to die and go to hell. Just follow your desires and hungers and passions through life. Make a living. Get what money you can. Have fun. Sow your wild oats. And die and go to hell. It's the easiest thing in the world. There's another almost as easy thing. It's to get saved and not grow. It is an easy, greasy, downhill slope to Christian apostasy. And there's a whole bunch of folks that are just as saved as any of us here. And they never grew a step. And they're not interested in growing a step. They're not interested in changing. They're not interested in being transformed. The devil cannot, if you're saved, get your soul. But if he can't get your soul, what he wants is your mind. And that's what he's after. And if you won't be renewed in the spirit of your mind, he's going to get you. He's going to control in the end how you think if you're not careful. He has really good success. Have you noticed? Like, really good success. They fall right and left. God's way is a gradual effort and growth through a lifetime. It takes patience. It takes study. It requires effort. You're going to fall and fail and need to be patched up and get back up and go again in spite of the fact that you don't feel like it. There's reproach involved. There's unpopularity involved. The majority is not going to agree with you. The majority of Christians won't agree with you because they don't have the mind of Christ. They're not even trying to achieve it. And so if you're staying in the Bible and staying challenged and staying right and trying to live for God, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. They're not interested because they're not trying to achieve what you are, a transformation, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's really easy. It's really easy, even as a Christian, going God's way. And that may shed light on what worldly means. Are we supposed to be separate from the world? Yes. But we've come to a day where not too many folks are, though they know we should be. Do you understand that serving the world is serving the devil? Because he is the god of this world, right? I can say this, and there's only a couple other things. One of these represents the renewal of the mind. The other represents delusion and deceit. So by the time you get to Revelation chapter 12, in the middle of the Great Tribulation, the devil deceiveth the whole world. Right? His way is twisted. One is the way of genuineness, and one is the way of falsehood. One is the way of reasonableness, and one is wicked. I said something earlier about being teachable. Let me ask you to turn in your Bibles. There's just going to be a little flurry here at the end of some Bible turning. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, real fast. Now the Lord wants you to learn. He wants you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's not enough to Him just that you should be saved. You're supposed to be transformed. The transformation comes by the renewing of the mind. If God can change your mind, everything will change, right? Look, that's the issue with repentance. Properly speaking, repentance is a change of mind. What's supposed to follow the change of mind is fruits, meat for repentance. That is, if you really changed your mind, then there's going to be some things changed. But you have to change your mind first. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and notice verse 2. What I said was that God, come and let us reason together, saith the Lord, right? God is reasonable. Reasonable people come to the Bible and see that God is right and His way is loftier than ours, and they go with it. But that's not what the devil wants. He would rather you be unteachable, irreprovable, irrebukable. Can't stand to be told you're wrong. And if he can get you there, look in verse 2. That we may be delivered, Paul prays, from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Now tell me what is paired with wicked. Unreasonable. What does it say when a man is perpetually unreasonable and won't turn and acknowledge and acquiesce to God's wisdom? It says something about his character. You can make that judgment. That's a judgment you're called to make. He's wicked. If the Lord says a man's supposed to run his home, then I don't care what your opinion is. And a contrary opinion is wicked. If the Lord says sodomy's wrong just like adultery's wrong, and you have a contrary opinion, I'm sorry, you're wicked. It's a wicked opinion. Right? Now look, getting down to the end here. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 again. Last point, but there's a flurry of verses, so hold your Bible in hand. This struck me last about these observations. In verse 13, Paul warns about Satan's working. And he says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Well, that's no marvel, he says, "for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing for his ministers also to be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." Well, you can see right there, verses 13 through 15, these ministers, these men, are leading people down Satan's path, right? Can you see that? Satan's transformation follows the way of a man. Now, there's a very important corollary to this. Nobody's calling anybody to follow a man blindly. We're calling you to read your Bible and conform yourselves to the mind of Christ. But there's a critical part of that that everybody gets off balance on. If you take 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15 to say, see, I ain't going to church no more, and I'm never going to sit under a pastor again, and nobody's going to teach me because I'll just go to the Bible and learn myself. Is that right? Is that right? It's not right. Both of these ways, both of these transformations, God's transformation that He desires for you where you change, or Satan's transformation where he's willing to change for you by his ministers, both of those require you to interact with men. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians 4, and again, just a quick flurry of verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice verse 13. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. I, Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, got you the gospel, and you got saved by the gospel that I preached to you. Verse 16, Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. These guys are called to follow Paul. Now look in chapter 11, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Can you tell if Paul ceases to follow Christ? I mean, if the man you're following ceases to follow Christ, would you know? How would you know? The Bible. Right? I mean, if I've got a ruler and you've got a ruler and we measure the same thing, it should come out the same. And if I'm saying, no, that's 18 inches, and you say, no, that's 4 inches, then something's wrong. Either it's your ruler or mine that's wrong. If your ruler is right, then mine's wrong. Right? This is not hard. Look in Philippians chapter 3. I'm just trying to show you that this transformation thing, you're not going to do it by yourself. You're responsible for it. But you're going to need some help. Philippians chapter 3. You can't wing it. You can't be independent. You can't be a free agent for God. F, free. A, agent. For God. Capital G. Fag. Don't be a fag. A free agent for God. Don't be one. Those people always get messed up. Don't be one. I need you. You need me. I need you. Once in a while, I say something off key, and somebody says, "Yeah, brother, what about this?" Oh, yeah. I hate that. I hate being wrong, but I've had to get up and say before, "I was wrong about that. Sorry." And by the grace of God, I will. But we don't get along without each other. Look in Philippians 3 and go down to verse 17. I'm not trying to drag this out, brethren. Be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord. You see, it's not contradictory to follow a man if he's following God. And you know whether he's following God by what he's teaching. And if what he's saying does not match the Bible, then don't follow him. Look in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. Now, you know what you need? Okay, you need the brethren, and you need a pastor. there's something else you need, and some folks are careless with it. Verse 14, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God. People are real flippant with going to church, aren't they? Well, do you want to be transformed or not? Church is a great place to start. You say, but you require us. I don't require nothing. I don't rope anybody in here. You're here because you want to be. I might say you should be here, but I ain't roped anybody, and you're not handcuffed to the chair. You can get up right now and leave if you please. But the fact of the matter is, if you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you're going to have to consent and assent to being taught and preached to. And frankly, if the power of God is in preaching and teaching, if the power of God is in the Word of God and in the ministry of God, then the fact of the matter is, we people living in these last days need to be here all that we can be here. If you want to be transformed instead of something conforming to you. See what I'm saying, Vern? Look at one more, Hebrews chapter 6. And then the flurry is over, and you get to go have pot roast for lunch. And you don't have to change a thing if you don't want to change. But as long as you know, the devil will change for you, and God wants you to be transformed. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Oh, we need to start with verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Don't you want to walk with somebody and accomplish together inheriting the promises one day? Do you really want to go it alone? Do you really think going it alone is the answer? Don't you think there might be somebody here that can strengthen you and help you and put his arm around your waist and help you along once you get gimpy? Don't you think it's worth laboring together to inherit the promises? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about being transformed. You're going to spend the rest of your life, the rest of your years. I've spent 46 years being transformed a little at a time, and we'll see what the final product is. You should have seen me when I started out. You know, there's some folks that change quickly. If you had seen Spurgeon a year after he got saved, snapshot to the year he got saved, it's totally different. 10 years after I was saved, I looked the same because I didn't grow. Now, I've grown since. But the simple point of the fact is that you have to labor to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you're not saved, none of this even applies to you other than getting saved. You need salvation in Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Until then, you don't even get to start this course. Please trust Christ as your Savior. Please don't be stubborn. Please don't rely on religion. Please don't lean on baptism. Please don't lean on your confirmation. Please, please, please understand it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses, and you access it by faith and faith alone. Unless you do that, none of what I've even said has any effect for you. But boy, folks, if you're saved, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you this morning for these things.